And please turn with me to Psalm 96. I'll give you a little warning. I have put down Psalm 96b, which we don't sing so commonly in our congregation, but I'm going to make it into A, and you'll see why in a moment. So we will be singing part A. Well, let's look here in our Bibles to Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For Jehovah is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. While I was doing my normal study today, I sometimes do it the night before, sometimes that morning, because it's not into the depth that I would with a sermon. Usually I go through and do some prayer and think about this, go through some quick commentaries on it, because it's more in the nature of a devotion, of course. And the commentators that I was looking at were talking about the fact that this psalm breaks out roughly into two portions. They're not equal in size, but the first nine verses really are celebrating the strength and the power, the glory of God, of Jehovah, and particularly of the one into whose hands all things are given, the Lord Jesus Christ. And a reason we have to be thinking about this being in particular the Lord Jesus Christ is found in verse 1, the fact that we are called upon to sing a new song. Now, it might be, of course, that this psalm, well, certainly is the case, that when this psalm was written, moved by the Spirit, and we have no idea who wrote it, it was new. It was brand new. But in the New Testament times, when the meaning of all the psalms is made much more clear than they were even at the time that they were written, it becomes a new song. Because, as we know, the Psalms speak of Jesus, as he himself said in Luke 24, verse 44, when he was resurrected from the dead, when he met with all the disciples in the upper room. All the Psalms speak of him, and so they are the word of Christ, which we are told to be speaking to one another with, along with, well, in the three different kinds of Psalms, the Psalms, the hymns, the songs, all of which are given by the Spirit, as we read in Ephesians 3:16 and in Colossians 5:19. We sing about Jesus when we sing these psalms. We see his power and glory then in these first nine verses, and the response to that in verses 7 through 9. As we see his glory, as we see his power, as we see his creative work and his redemptive work, we should be giving praise. If we have hearts that have been made new, to use the Old Testament way of saying it, hearts that are now circumcised, or using a more New Testament term that Jesus used with Nicodemus in John 3, being born again, with the new hearts that we have, with the new natures that we have, it's kind of an automatic thing. We just respond to it with the new hearts that we have been given. with joy, with praise, with giving glory to God, and particularly to Jesus Christ. For he is the one through whom God has made all the worlds, and he is the one through whom God brings redemption. No wonder we are moved to be giving him glory and strength, as we see there in verse 7. That doesn't mean that we add to his glory or add to his strength. It means that we acknowledge it and revel in it and rejoice in it and rely upon it. Or, I should say, them, because we have two different things mentioned there. Give to the Lord the glory due to his name. And then there's a further response as well. We not only give him this glory, acknowledge and spread abroad and tell of his glory, but we give an offering and come into his courts. Now, in those days, this might be a monetary thing, but it might also well be some sort of sacrifice. But it is in any event, whether it be thought of in an Old Testament sort of way, in type, shadow, and form, such as in the time when this was written, or when this becomes a new song in more New Testament things in a time of fulfillment, whichever it is, this is significant of our giving, ultimately, ourselves. This is a sign of our heart consecration. And so as we give to him this offering, whether it be, once again, of an animal, or in our day, it might be more likely that of finances, with money, it is then worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, from verse 10 on, we look at the fact that God reigns, Jehovah reigns, our King Jesus rules over all things, and he is bringing redemption, which culminates in his coming. His coming. Not the coming to bring salvation, but the coming to consummate salvation, to bring all things to their end, as we see in the very final verse there, verse 13, for his coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. You know, we read in Romans chapter 8 that right now the creation, because it has fallen in and with Adam's fall, the whole creation is groaning. It's in trouble. It is in pain. It is in difficulty because of the fall. Adam's fall did not plunge merely humanity, that's bad enough, of course, into fallenness, but the whole nature of creation, and it awaits the coming redemption. Well, this is why all things are rejoicing. The heavens, the earth, the sea, the fields, the trees, all these are rejoicing because he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. This is what Jesus will bring about at the resurrection of all things, the ending of all things, the straightening out of all things. So as we look here, we see Jesus in all his splendor and glory. Now then, why the change from 96b to 96a? Well, because, as I said, normally I just go through things studying this as a devotional, but I got thinking about something. You know, people, when they object to only singing the Psalms, sometimes will say, well, we want to sing about Jesus, and we show time and time and time again that the Psalms, as he himself said, speak of him. But I've heard this said sometime, well, I want to sing Jesus' name. Well, you're doing so in this psalm. You're doing so in this psalm. Look with me at verse 2. Sing to Jehovah, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. And I was looking at that in the Hebrew, and this is a really good translation. The word order from the English to the Hebrew, or I should say the Hebrew to the English, is a little bit different because of our grammar structures are differently. But all the words are the same words. The very ending words of that verse translate to proclaim the good news from day to day of his salvation. Do you remember why it is that Jesus was named Jesus? The angel Gabriel told Mary in Luke chapter 1 why he should be called Jesus. Because he shall save his people from their sin. In Hebrew, his name was not Jesus, it was Yehoshua. Yeho, or Jehovah, Shua, or Shava, which means to save. Jehovah saves. Furthermore, in the Aramaic, which is what most people spoke at that time, not Hebrew, it was a related language. His name was Yeshua. Okay? Many of you know about that. You hear that from like Jews for Jesus. They talk about Yeshua, HaMashiach. All right? The last piece of the puzzle here. In the Hebrew, the last word there is his salvation. Again, the phrase in the Hebrew goes, proclaim the good news from day to day of his salvation. The word in Hebrew is pronounced Yehoshua. Yeah, let me try it again. Yehoshua tu. Or Yeshua tu. That's better. And I'm doing this out of memory, such as it is. Yeshua tu. His salvation. And in the Hebrew, you'd be saying Yeshua. You are singing his name right here in this song. It's not in 96b because that's the second half of the song. But it's in this first half. So that's why I want us to sing this. This isn't the only song that has the name of Jesus in it. We'll have it again, I know for a fact, in Psalm 98. I'll try to look and see if we have it in Psalm 97 as we study for next week. But we don't merely sing about Jesus in this psalm. We sing his very name, at least the English and English translation of it. But of course, Jesus is a English pronunciation of a Latin transliteration of a Greek form of the Aramaic adaptation of the Hebrew. So we're just taking a translated out form of it. We're singing his name here. So let us delightedly, I trust we will, delightedly sing about Jesus, sing the name of Jesus, sing to the praise and glory of Jesus as we use Psalm 96, part A.